So here's a fun story. One time, me and Kevin went to Halloween Horror Nights, and while we were there, we naturally got talking about our underwear.
Always seems to happen at a Halloween Horror Nights.
Sure. But this is when Kevin first told me about MeUndies. I'd heard about MeUndies from a lot of people, but for whatever reason, Kevin was the one that really sold me on them, and I've made the switch, and I'm so happy that I did.
They're so comfortable, they don't crinkle up. Sometimes it doesn't even feel like I'm wearing anything.
Nothing at all. It's stupid sexy Flanders. And they come in great patterns that are super fun. Right now, what am I wearing right now? I got The Office on right now. The Office version, Dunder Mifflin.
Nice. I got some wolves.
Super fun patterns and super buttery smooth and just the most comfortable underwear I've ever worn. And we want you guys to enjoy MeUndies as much as we do. So right now, if you go to cultusplat.com/MeUndies, that's cultusplat.com/MeUndies, and click on Build a Pack, you can get 30% off packs of 3, 6, or 10.
That is a good deal.
It is a good deal. In fact, it's a great deal. So go get it, get yourself some comfy ass undies, and put your ass in some MeUndies.
A game. In front of you is a podcast. It is called Cult of Flats. What if I did the whole episode like this?
I'd be really creeped out.
Welcome to another episode of Cult of Flat. My name is Taylor Bartle. I am joined once again by my co-host Kevin Nesgoda.
Yo.
So today we've got a very lively, festive, joyous movie.
Real whole family slasher here.
Today we are talking about the movie Saw.
Hey, this has nothing to do with Christmas.
No, nothing.
Nothing whatsoever. I mean, there are a few presents that pop up here and there, but yeah, no Santa Claus.
I think this is our first, I mean, we did Friday the 13th, the remake.
But is that really
first horror movie? But yeah, that's kind of, you know, it's
horror.
It's got comedy in it, and it's a slasher, so it's kind of, it's kind of campy.
It has Sam Winchester in it, and the dude from Superstore.
Oh, yeah, Ben Feldman.
Ben Feldman, that's his name. Good old Benny.
Yeah, this is our first, real kind of dark horror movie. Kevin and I, both big horror movie fans. I mean, my other podcast is dedicated to horror movies. So it is something we both enjoy, but we are going to try and not make fun of it because it is a movie we like. That's the whole point of this podcast. But we are going to try and make it light and make it fun to listen to.
It's going to be a tough one, though. This one's really dark all the way through.
It's pretty fucking dark.
It's really dark, bae. Hey, I did a Boston accent.
Fucking well, Boston, kid.
Well, I had to say two words, though. That's my range.
Yeah, kind of surprising that this one is rotten.
For how much hype it got and how much love it still gets? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the audience score is 84%. Compare that to the critics score of 49%.
Yeesh.
Yeah, the critics consensus says, Saw ensnares audiences with a deceptively clever plot and a myriad of memorable, nasty set pieces, but its lofty ambitions are undercut by a nihilistic streak that feels more mean than profound. That kind of goes to what you were saying.
Yeah,
about
I thought
it really being fun in any way.
No, it's definitely not fun in any way, but it's good. I think it's good. I think it's the most clever horror movie we had seen since Blair Witch. And, you know, Blair Witch spawned off a whole, series of found footage films, and this spawned off a whole series of really clever serial killers putting people in puzzles. I mean, there's only one Saw, but, you know, there was Jesus Christ, how many attempts at homages, in quotes there. Yeah, it just feels like people are still trying to recreate the magic of the first Saw, and they just can't.
Yeah, and this gets labeled with that torture porn label a lot, and I really don't think it is.
No, this isn't like Hostel or anything like that.
Yeah, like there's some gross stuff, but none of it is really like really traumatic. It's not like you see, you know, a lot of like slow slicing or anything like that. It's
right. All of the gore is actually sped up and they don't show a whole lot of it.
Yeah. They talk about it, but they don't really show a lot of it. Yeah, I remember when this came out and I was kind of like, I don't know. It kind of looks a little too, I mean, I thought it looked a little too torture porny and stuff for me. But then when I went and saw it, I was like, wow, that was really fucking good.
Yeah, it was really fucking good.
A lot of people, you know, I had people tell me they saw the twist ending coming and I told them they're full of shit because I don't think anybody really saw that twist ending.
No, because you hadn't seen a twist like that ever.
Right. We'll say at the beginning this time, if you haven't seen the movie Saw, first of all, I don't know what you're doing. This movie's from 2004. It's almost 20 years old.
Yeah. It's 18 and a half at this point.
Go watch it because we're going to spoil the dick out of it. We're going to talk about that twist ending. Yeah. So if you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's free on the Roku channel. It's on Hulu. I think it might be somewhere else for free, or I think it's like $3 to rent.
Yeah.
So go watch it first. Come back and finish the episode. Written or directed by, and this is the possibly only time I will say this on this podcast.
He's your favorite director.
Directed by James Wan. His only good movie. There, I said it.
You don't give enough credit to Conjuring. Conjuring was a good movie.
Conjuring sucks.
No, you
suck. I will also say this is the only Saw we're going to do.
Yeah.
This is the only good Saw.
It falls off a cliff real fast.
Yeah, 2 is decent, but it is a big drop off from this one. And then after that they just get really bad. And then they start just falling into I mean, I don't want to say they fall into the traps, but it buys into its own hype in that all the future ones are just like they focus so much more on the traps and less on the story. Yep. And then they just have this twist ending that doesn't make any sense.
Right. Did you see the one with Chris Rock?
No, Spiral.
Yeah, I haven't watched Spiral yet either.
I have not either.
I think I stopped after Saw 4. I don't think I've seen 5, 6, or Spiral.
There is one, and I'll admit I have not seen it all the way through, but from what I saw, what I understood of it was there was like this one cop who was investigating Jigsaw the whole time, and then at the end, this cop was like, oh, by the way, I'm the killer now.
So kind of like Friday the 13th part 1.
Except he was the cop. He was investigating Jigsaw. It made no sense.
Right. Yeah, it's not like the soul of Jigsaw went over and took over the cop's body.
That's the other thing. Jigsaw dies in part 2.
Right.
And yet he's in every other movie. Anyway, part 10 is coming out next year. Get ready for that.
There's 10. Holy shit. I didn't realize there was a 7, 8, 9.
Well, there's...
I thought Spiral was just like a side story.
Yeah, that's counting Spiral. Spiral is considered part 9.
Got it. Okay. I thought it was like a spinoff, kind of like Annabelle from The Conjuring.
Right, because it's, you know, in the Saw universe or whatever they say. But this is written by Lee Whannell and James Wan. Lee Whannell also stars in it. We'll talk about that in a minute. But IMDb synopsis. What?
I was going to say, Lee Whannell is really good in this.
Never heard of him before. Two strangers awaken in a room with no recollection of how they got there and soon discover they're pawns in a deadly game perpetrated by a notorious serial killer. Pretty good.
Yeah, nailed it. I give them 100.
Yeah. So, should we just dive right in then?
Let's crawl through some razor wire and get right into this.
Let's do that. So we open up. We open up in a bathtub filled with water. We see this person in it. They quickly wake up, freak out, obviously.
Yeah.
Start thrashing around, and we see them. They kick the plug off the, you know, out of the tub.
Uh-oh.
And we see this little light. And as the light goes down the drain, we notice there's a key on it.
Uh-oh.
Not really something you think about if you, like, the first time. But
it comes into play.
Yeah. When you know, you know.
Especially in part three, if I'm recalling correctly.
But this person, you know, gets up out of the tub. It's pitch black. And all of a sudden, he's like, you know, where am I? Where am I? Am I dead? And we just hear this voice out of the darkness go, "You're not dead." He's like, "Who's that? Who's that?" Lights come on. And it's Cary Elwes.
Oh, hey, Robin Hood.
Robin Hood.
The good one. Unlike the others, he speaks with an English accent.
The Dread Pirate Roberts.
He's also the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Wesley.
Wes.
As you wish. But so, yeah, like I said, the lights come on. He sees Cary Elwes and as well as this dead body.
Ew.
Sitting in the middle of the room. This big guy. And he's got a gun in his hand and he appears to have blown his brains out.
At this point, I'd have been hacking my foot off with anything I could have gotten my hands on. I don't do dead bodies. I'm like, nope.
Yeah, so he's got a gun in one hand and a tape recorder in the other. The first person we saw, the one who was in the bathtub, is Lee Whannell.
Hey.
Who, did you know he's Australian?
I did not. I was reading the...
Never know it from this movie.
No, I was reading the wiki for both him and James Wan. They're both Australian. I had no idea.
Wait, James Wan is Australian?
Yeah.
That's news to me. Mostly because I don't care about James Wan.
Well, you should. Oh, he's Malaysian, technically.
Oh. But Lee Whannell, he's chained to a pipe. Cary Elwes is chained to a pipe on the other side of the room. Cary Elwes is like, all right, you know, calm down. First off, what's your name? And Lee Whannell is like, my name is very fucking confused.
It's a good name.
And Cary Elwes is like, nice to meet you, Very. My name is Dr. Lawrence something.
Gordon.
It doesn't matter because I'm going to call him Cary Elwes the whole time.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, he always tells him, you know, I just woke up here just like you. I have no idea what's going on.
Just like you.
Yeah. And he says, you know, what about you? What do you remember? And he says, well, I remember falling asleep in my shithole apartment and waking up in a literal shithole.
When they show his shithole apartment, I'm like, Jesus, people live in that type of apartment.
Cary Elwes says, you know, I remember leaving work and then nothing after that. Huh. And Lee Whannell is like, you know, points at the guy in the middle of the room and says, it's the first dead body I've ever seen in real life. They look different. They don't move.
Oh well, yeah. It's not like, you know, watching what was like Mask of Death tapes back in the day.
Oh, Faces of Death.
Faces of Death. That's it.
That shit was fucked up. Cause they like had real deaths mixed in.
Right. And it was like, oh no, I thought this was like fake. That person actually got like mangled by a train. I'm out. I am done.
Yeah, but you didn't know what was real and what was fake. That was the fucked up part.
Right.
So, but he's like, Whannell starts freaking out and he's like, do you see any scars or anything? I've seen movies where they'd knock you out and sell your kidneys on eBay.
We stopped doing that. eBay only sells virginity now.
Is that a thing?
Somebody tried it like way back in the day, but they quickly like put the X on that one.
Oh, I'm sure there's sites out there where you can do that.
It's called the dark web.
Dark web. But Cary Elwes says, look, you still have your kidneys. I guarantee you, if someone had stolen your kidneys, you'd be in a lot worse pain than you are now.
I would assume so, because just getting your appendix taken out hurts a lot, even with morphine.
But yeah, Elwes says, you know, I should know because I'm a surgeon.
I am a doctor. Are you a doctor? No.
Trust me, I'm a doctor.
Doctor?
Doctor.
Doctor.
Doctor. But Cary Elwes notices that the clock on the wall is brand new. So obviously somebody wanted them to know the time. Which is an interesting wrinkle. But so Whannell starts going through his pockets and he finds an envelope. Did you say envelope or envelope?
Envelope.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Even though it's like the wrong pronunciation, you're right. It should be envelope, but I always say envelope and I don't know why.
I feel like envelope is like the pretentious way to say it.
I also say caramel instead of caramel,
but I feel like I go back and forth.
I mean, caramel is the way it's, you know, written out. There's no silent like a, as far as I know.
No, I mean with envelope. I feel like sometimes I say envelope, but sometimes I say envelope.
I think I say envelope most of the time, but envelope is just like a word you never really say anymore since everything's digital. It's like, hey, I need an envelope to go mail the check for rent. It's like, nah, I just like, you know, do a bank transfer to my landlord now.
Yeah. And I feel like most of the time I say caramel. Sometimes I say caramel, but not caramel.
Caramel. Caramello.
Did you say Caribbean or Caribbean?
Caribbean.
I feel like I usually say Caribbean unless I'm talking about pirates.
And it's Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. How do you say Mediterranean?
Mediterranean.
Okay. Yeah, that was a trick question.
How else would you say
it? I don't know.
Mediterranean.
Mediterranean.
Okay. Inside the envelope is not, now I'm like questioning myself as I say it. Inside the envelope is a little like mini micro tape that says play me.
The microfilm.
Kerry always goes through his pocket. He also has an envelope. He also has a tape that says play me. But you also in his envelope is a bullet and a key.
Ooh.
Do I remember what?
When pockets used to be deep in pants. They're not so deep anymore.
Not really, no.
No, you can carry like your phone and like, you know, your keys and wallet. And that's about all pockets are made for. But I remember back in the day, you could fit like a watermelon in your pockets.
I never tried putting a watermelon in my pocket, but I don't think that's right.
No, I'm just, you know, over exaggerating my points.
I don't think that he was wearing JNCOs.
No, he wasn't. I think they were khakis.
So 1L, or I guess Elwes tells 1L, you know, we got to get that tape player that's in the dead guy's hand. And so neither of them can reach it because they're both chained to the wall. So 1L takes off his shirt and he takes the plug out of the bathtub, ties that around his shirt, is able to like fling it out like a lasso or something.
Went all Kareem Skyhook.
Yeah, he's like gets the plug right in the cord. It's like a, you know, wrist strap or something.
Yeah,
he's able to get the plug right in there.
Well, it took him like twice to do that.
He was pretty good at it.
Yeah, he was. He's practiced this thing before. He must
apparently,
you know, do some really kinky shit with hookers on the weekends.
So he pulls the thing, puts his tape in it, and it like starts calling. It says that he's a voyeur, and you know, says basically that he's just kind of floating through life, and he's like, you know, will you die in this room, or will you actually fight for your life and do something about it?
Yeah. Okay.
Elwes then throws his tape to him. He plays it, and he says that he has to kill 1L by 6. He says the man on the floor was poisoned. He says, you know, when there's so much poison in your blood, sometimes you just have to shoot yourself in the head.
Wouldn't that... I always thought about this. It's like, if you had that much poison in you, would you have time to shoot yourself in the head? Are they talking about what's wrong with him in illness and not actual poison?
Depends on the poison, I guess.
It's true.
But it says there are ways to win this hidden all around you. X marks the spot.
So they're looking for buried pirate treasure.
Yes.
Okay.
He also tells him if he doesn't kill 1L by 6, then his wife and daughter will die and he will be left in this room to rot.
Well, fuck.
Let the game begin.
And then like very, very faintly at the end, you can hear someone whisper, follow your heart.
Did they explain that? Because I like lost track of that thread.
Explain what?
Follow your heart.
Yeah, then Elwes is just like, we have to find a heart. Like, look around for a heart.
Oh, that's right. Okay, never mind. I remember where this goes now. My bad.
And so they find a heart written in poop on the back of the toilet.
To me, this was the most disgusting part of the whole movie.
It's pretty bad. So 1L just like rolls up his sleeve and just shoves his hand down on the toilet.
Oh, and it was thick.
It's so full of something that you can't even see through it.
No. And there's like,
so he's, he's reaching around and Elwes is like, did you find anything? And he says, no solids.
Well, good. What? Yeah.
And then Elle was just like, well, you know, check the top. And so he, you know, pulls off the top of the upper deck, reaches inside, and there's a garbage bag. And he's like, really wish I would have checked there first.
Nice clean water on the top. No upper deckers.
Yep. No poop, no sludge, no grit and grime.
Have you ever been in a house that had an upper decker happen?
No.
Neither have I. I've only heard about it through legend.
Sure. But so inside this garbage bag is a couple of hacksaws.
Oh.
Not Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh. Not hey-o. Hello. Hey, tough guy.
But so he, 1L, like, just, you know, feverishly starts sawing at his chains, throws the other one to Elwes. He starts sawing his chains. Not going to work.
Nope. They're not meant for cutting metal.
Nope. So Elwes says, you know, he doesn't want us to cut through our chains. He wants us to cut through our feet. And then he's like, I think I know who did this. I guess right before he says that, though, 1L breaks his hacksaw and he like throws it at this mirror and breaks the mirror. Just breaks a little piece off, not like the whole mirror.
Yeah, just a little taste.
Just the corner. Yeah, and then Ella says, I think I know who did this. And so 1L is like, fucking sing.
Yeah, tell me, goddammit. Quit like starting off pensively. Ooh, I just use the word pensive.
But so we get a flashback to, we see officers Carey, Singh, and Murtaugh. And
I had the same thought watching the movie. It's like, oh, hey, it's Murtaugh.
Murtaugh is just like, I'm too old for this shit.
He really was too old for this shit.
But they're at this crime scene, and they're looking at just this like box thing full of razor wire, and there's a dead guy inside.
Ugh.
And Carey is saying that, you know, he tried to get from the back to the front through this razor wire, cut himself so deep that they found traces of stomach acid.
Fuck.
That's fucking brutal, man.
And you know how, like, the stomach doesn't produce stomach acid, like, on a whim if you're healthy. Like, you know, sometimes it does when you're, you know, you got, you know, issues. But that went so deep, it triggered stomach acid to flow. Just think about that.
Yeah, that's heinous.
Because that guy hadn't eaten in a few days.
Probably. He was a big dude, though.
He was a big dude.
But they also found a tape, and they play the tape, and it's the same voice. And the tape's in the bathroom saying, you know, Paul, you're a perfectly healthy, well-to-do man, but last week you ran a straight razor across your wrists. He says, were you actually trying to die, or was this just a cry for attention? We'll find out, because if you want to die, all you have to do is stay put. If you want to live, you'll have to cut yourself again. Find the path through the razor wire and out the door. But at 3 o'clock, that door shuts and locks, and this room will be your tomb.
He's a poet.
Prepare to meet thy doom.
That won't do it, but you know where it's going.
I know exactly where you're going.
Oh, Cosmo.
But so this guy obviously, you know, still wanted to live because he tried to get through this razor wire and apparently tried to go so fast that he sliced himself open and bled out. Ugh. Ugh. Murtaugh notices a little jigsaw piece has been cut out of the guy's flesh.
That was a good eye.
And he says, oh, I'm too old for this shit.
And then he went and played laser tag for 6 hours.
But so the paper started referring to this killer as the Jigsaw Killer. But as Elwes points out, he never actually killed anyone. He just got them to kill themselves.
Well, shit.
So kind of like how Charles Manson never actually killed anyone.
Right.
He got other people to do it for him.
You can still go to jail for, you know, conspiracy. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you go to jail, though, for conspiracy for suicide?
That's a good question, because Manson's they murdered.
I guess Kevorkian did, right?
Oh, that's true. He did.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the exact charges would be for Jigsaw.
I think they'd make something.
I mean, I guess kidnapping.
Yeah, that'd be one.
There's some people he talks about poisoning. So,
yeah.
Like this next guy, Mark, is another guy that they talk about that they, or maybe it's the next guy. I don't know. It kind of just jumps straight to the next scene. So I don't really know if this was before or after, but
right.
Mark apparently was doing some insurance scamming. Jigsaw says, you know, if you're so sick, why do I have these photos of you walking out and about just fine?
Oh.
And so he says that he injected him with this slow acting poison and the antidote is in the safe that's in the room with him. All he has to do is open the safe and get the antidote.
Easy
and the combination.
Enough.
Combination's written on the wall.
Oh,
but
sweet.
There are thousands of numbers written on the wall.
Oh, fuck.
Literally all four walls are just covered in numbers.
That would drive a crazy man nuts.
Yeah, man. Also, Mark is naked. He's Uh-oh. Covered in some kind of goo, which you never want to wake up naked covered in goo.
Nope, been there, done that. Had questions, never found out.
Okay. but the floor is covered in glass, so he's going to have to go around the room looking for this number, walking on glass. And turns out this goo is actually a flammable substance. And the only light in the room is a single candle.
Okay. Here's a good would you rather be burned all over your body or walk on glass? And it's a tough choice for me because I have prissy little soft feet.
Or just curl up in the fetal position until you starve to death.
Or the poison will eventually take hold.
Or the poison. Yeah, I forgot about the poison already. Yeah, so he says, you know, all the people you burned with your act might just get your revenge. And then we see Mark go up in flames.
Oh, poor Mark.
Carrie also says that the killer liked to have a front row seat to his murders because she sees a little glory hole.
I'm going to blow my load in the glory hole. Wait.
But she also says that the killer left behind his pen light.
Oh.
That's my pen light click. Of course, this pen light belongs to Dr. Carrie Elwes.
Doctor.
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 So we see Dr. Elwes at the hospital. This is obviously still part of the same flashback. He is talking to some medical students, telling them that this patient has an inoperable frontal lobe tumor.
Well, fuck.
Basically started as colon cancer, spread to his brain. He's pretty much circling the drain. Not much we can do at this point.
Ah, that sucks.
And, you know, he's talking about this guy like he's not in the room. Obviously, I mean, he's unconscious. I don't know if he's in a coma or what, but he's clearly unconscious. But still, Elwes is talking about him like he's a, you know, a 67 Chevy or something. Yeah. Like
he gone.
Yeah. And so this orderly named Zepp walks by and he's like, his name is John. And he's actually a very interesting person.
How would you
know? Elwes is just like, Elwes is just like, oh, our orderlies, they get attached to the corpses, you know?
We give them to them for like 15, 20 minutes right after they pass, so they're still warm. They can do whatever they want.
It's like, Zepp, I've told you, don't make friends with the bodies.
Yeah.
Don't make friends with people. They're just going to die.
Yeah. Get your hand out of his gown.
You're going a very different direction than I am.
I'm sorry, his name is Zepp. I assume he is a molester.
But so there's a voice comes on the intercom, says, you know, Dr. Elwes, to your office, please. So he goes to his office and Murtaugh and Singh are in his office. It's Danny Glover. I don't know if people realize what I'm saying.
I hope they've caught on.
Yeah. Murtaugh and Singh are in his office and they're just like, you know, hey, where were you last night around 11 p.m. And, you know, cuts to him talking to his lawyer. And he's basically like, I don't want to tell them where I was because I was seeing someone who was not a patient and was not my wife.
Oh,
so he's having an affair.
Yeah.
His lawyer basically says, you know, if I were you, I would give them your alibi now because they're not going to believe you later.
No.
So basically, you know, it's your marriage or you're going to jail.
Right. You know, and I want to be sort of cop perp privilege. That's not a real thing.
No, it's absolutely not.
There's somebody out there like, really? No, 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 there's not. Maybe in South Africa, but not in the US.
But so they're like, we want to introduce you to someone. We like, we there's one of the killer's victims that managed to get away, and we want you to hear her story. And so they sit him down in front of the, behind this two-way mirror, and they bring out Amanda, played by Shawnee Smith.
Cue the music.
That's right, Shawnee Smith making her third appearance on the podcast, thus making her the latest Cult of Splat All-Star.
Yay, Shawnee!
Previously appearing in Breakfast of Champions, as well as Summer School.
I can't believe she had her role on both Rotten Tomatoes pages for those, especially Breakfast of Champions.
Out of like all the movies and all the like people that whose pages we look at and things that aren't on theirs, but whatever, anyway. She's an all-star now. So Amanda starts recounting her story of being captured by Jigsaw.
I recant the whole thing. It was the other man, officer, I tell ya.
It wasn't me. It was the one-armed man. But so she woke up and she had this giant contraption on her face. And like, this was on a bunch of the movie posters. This was kind of the one that did a lot of the marketing was built around this trap.
It's scary.
It's gruesome looking. But she wakes up, and as she wakes up, this little doll comes in, or comes up on a screen, rather.
Annabelle.
Not Annabelle.
Oh, my bad.
Its name is Billy. They never say that in any of the movies.
I was like, it actually has a name?
Yeah, its name is Billy.
Oh. Hello, Billy. Oh, Billy.
But this is the other thing that's in all the branding. You know, it's the white doll face with the spirals on his cheeks. And he explains to Amanda that this thing on her face is basically like a reverse bear trap. It's attached to her upper and bottom jaws. And once it reaches a certain timer, it just flings open and it basically rips her head clean in half.
Goddamn.
And he says, you can get out. The key is in the stomach of your dead cellmate.
Oh.
As she kind of like freaks out, you know, and she's like reaching back, trying to find a lock. And she like gets up and stands up, and suddenly a pin gets pulled.
Oh no.
Out of the back of the machine. And that sets off the timer.
Oh no.
So now she's got, I want to say it's like 30 seconds or something. It's not long at all.
No.
But so she looks around and she sees her dead cellmate. She sees this body is in the room with her.
Oh, hey, guy.
And also there's a knife.
Oh, how convenient.
So she picks up the knife and she's about to cut open this body when the body wakes up.
Oh, no.
And is like, please, please don't. Could you not?
Sorry, Bob.
And like she like, you know, hesitates and is just like, nope, you or me, bud.
Yeah.
Boom.
You got to go.
Stabs him right in the stomach, cuts his stomach open, pulls out his intestines.
This is
possibly the goriest part of the movie. She's like searching through his intestines.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
No, it's really not. But this is, like I said, probably the goriest part of the movie.
Right.
Finds the key. Unlocks the thing, throws it off right as it opens. It like pops open before it hits the ground.
It's like clink. Yeah. And I like how they like he demonstrated it on a styrofoam head and the head just like vaporized.
Just explodes. Yeah. Goes, poof. So then Billy comes out on a fucking tricycle. I don't fully understand how this was happening. Like because it's like a puppet. Like
yeah.
And it's not like it's a marionette. You don't see any strings. It just rides out like Kermit the Frog on a bicycle.
I got nothing that won't offend a whole portion of people.
Maybe it's remote controlled? I don't
That's
know.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it comes out and it says, congrats. What?
Or somebody the size of a child.
No, it's smaller than a child. It's, I mean, like,
that's
toddler
true.
Size.
Well, there's that one girl who was like 18 inches tall.
Oh, yeah.
But still.
I don't think it was her.
No, I don't think it was her either.
But the dummy that has the voice that's on the tape is just like, he says, congratulations, you're still alive. Most people are so ungrateful to be alive.
but not you. Not anymore.
Oh, great.
And back in the cop shop, she explains that she's actually a drug addict. And, you know, Murtaugh's like, do you think that's why he picked you? And she says, he helped me.
Oh.
So she's like thankful for this.
Hmm.
And that's basically, I mean, kind of skipping ahead. That's basically what Jigsaw's all about, is he takes people who are in like just horrible situations and basically says, you know, if you want to better your situation, you got to hit rock bottom first.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he always says, live or die, make your choice. By the way, he never says, do you want to play a game?
To Shawnee?
That to anybody. He doesn't say that in the movie.
Oh, that's a good point.
He says, I want to play a game.
Yeah, I want to play a game.
And yet there's been this like Mandela effect of him saying, do you want to play a game?
Good point.
I know. Thank you.
Good find.
But so back in the shithole, Wanell like starts freaking out and he's just like, you know, this isn't fair. Like, you have information that I don't have. And he's like, starts picking stuff up and throwing it at the mirror. Or no, sorry. He picks up the shard first.
Right.
And he's like, I'm going to cut you.
How? How?
You're still, you know, 25 feet away from each other.
Yeah. Are you going to throw that really hard and hope you nick me?
Yeah, really. But he's just like, oh, I'm going to cut you so bad. You're going to wish I know cut you so bad. then he gets mad and he just starts like throwing stuff. Or he notices, God, I keep jumping ahead. He notices, he looks at the glass in his hand and he notices it's two-way glass.
Oh.
So he realizes that someone's watching them.
Hey.
So he starts throwing shit at the mirror and just breaking it entirely. And like they realize there's a...
Yeah, he's a voyeur. He's in there because he's a voyeur. Yet he's being voyeurized. Voyaged? Voided? People who are good with words, let us know.
Like, if you're a voyeur, that means you voy, right?
Yeah.
So that would mean that they're being void.
Void. V-O-U-Y-E-D. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so there's a camera behind this like plexiglass. And 1L is just like, oh, so this is reality TV.
Is reality TV a thing in 2004?
I think maybe like Survivor. Survivor's been on for like 45 years at this point, I think.
That's a good point. I think Deadliest Catch was just on or something like that as well.
I legitimately think Survivor's in at least its 20th season.
At least.
Yeah.
Because I think
it was kind of
in high school.
Yeah, I think it definitely was. Because my dad, when he made his tryout tape, I was still in high school.
Okay. Yeah, because I think it was on my senior year, and that was more than 20 years ago.
My dad tried out to be on Survivor.
Sweet.
Did not make it.
Oh.
Not like Clifford Robinson.
Uncle Cliff.
But yeah, so I think maybe reality TV was like just kind of becoming a thing. So, but he keeps throwing shit at the plexiglass, but it's all just bouncing off. He's just like, you know, I hope you're having fun. I'm having a great time. This is the most fun I've ever had without lubricant.
Yes, I have questions.
I couldn't stop laughing at the fact that he said lubricant, and like who says the full word?
Yeah.
Everyone just says lube.
Lube.
Yeah.
Well, he is Australian, playing an American, playing in a movie, playing a dude, playing another dude.
I guess. But so Elwes remembers, you know, the tape said find the X, or X marks the spot.
Right.
And so he's just like, we have to find the X.
X gonna give it to you.
X gonna give it to you. Whose theme is that? Oh, fuck. That's somebody's theme.
That's amazing. I was listening to some DMX.
I met a wrestler.
Oh. Boy, some of his other songs are very problematic.
Yeah.
I did not realize that. And I was like, I want to give DMX a spin. Oh, boy. I'm just going to stick to the one song.
But so one else is like, how can you be so calm about this?
Because I'm a doctor.
And he's like, you know, this guy has your wife and daughter. Like, aren't you thinking about that? And Elwes just like, yeah, I'm thinking about the last thing I said to my daughter. So we get this flashback, and his daughter is telling her mother that there's a man in her room, and her mom is Molly something. I can't remember the
actual Monica name. Potter.
Monica Potter, not Molly anything.
Monty? Monty Potter?
Monty. Yeah, Monty, as she likes to be called.
Yeah, we call her Monty all the time. We're very close.
She says, okay, you know, I'll come check your room in a minute. Just hang on. She says, no, I want daddy to check because he'll get rid of the bad man. So they go to Cary Elwes, who's feverishly typing on a laptop. He's like, you know, I just got to finish this real quick. I'm just doing some work. And she's like, Monty is just like, all right, come on, you know, screw this. Let's go. And Elwes just like, nope, I'm finished. Fuck you.
Yeah, I told you one paragraph and I'm a speed typer. Yeah, go fuck yourself. Yeah, I believe those were his exact words.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so he goes in and he, you know, checks the room and he says, see, told you there's no bad man in here. And then he gets a page and his daughter's just like, I hate that thing. He's like, well, you know, daddy's got to work. And his daughter's just like, you're not going to leave us, right? He's like, what the hell? No. What are you talking about? Who told you that?
Yeah. Come on now.
And she's like, no one.
Jesus. So Jesus comes to me at night and says, daddy is a bad, bad man.
So, I mean, it sounds to me like the bad man was whispering things to her about her dad being a piece of shit. But so he's heading out the door to, you know, respond to this page. And Monty is just like, how can you keep doing this? How can you keep pretending that you're happy? Cut back to the shithole. Elwes throws his wallet to 1L and says, you know, here, look at the pictures of my daughter. So he's looking at him. He's like, oh, she's real cute. What, you know, what about your wife? Any pictures of her?
Nude, and preferably.
Bikini. I'll settle for bikini. Like,
yeah. Something that's a little risque, maybe string.
But he says, you know, oh yeah, look behind the one that you're looking at now. There's a really good picture of her. And he pulls out this picture and it's his wife and daughter tied up and like their mouths are all tied up.
And he's going on to be like, I'm so fond of that picture.
But he flips it over and on the back it says, X marks the spot. Sometimes you see more with your eyes shut.
Oh.
Back to the flashback. We see there was a man in the daughter's closet the whole time. He whispers, good night, little girl.
I'm coming for you.
She screams. Monty runs upstairs, opens the door, and there's just like a figure with a blanket covering his entire body. Standing next to the bed. And I'm like, that's fucking terrifying.
Yeah. At first I laughed. I was like, wait a second. That's nervous laughter. I am. That is no bad.
Yeah, like it's a silly visual. Cause like your first thought is just like, oh, I'm a ghost. Boo. But then you're just like, you think about like, what if I walked in a room and there was a person standing there with a blanket on their head? You just, no.
I'm sorry, little kid, but it's me or you, and it's going to be you.
You just slowly back out and close the door.
I never liked that kid anyway.
I see nothing.
Here, have some microfilm on top of it all. But cover so the safe is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
We see Monty and the daughter all tied up. And we don't see the man. We just see like he's got gloves on his hands and we see him like from the waist down and he's got a stethoscope and he's listening to the daughter's heartbeat and he like puts a teddy bear in front of her and like listens to her heartbeat. And then he pulls out a gun and he kind of waves the gun in front of her and listens to her heartbeat, which obviously is now racing.
It's like, oh, I'm 9 years old, but fuck, I know what that means.
Yeah. But so it pans out and we see that the person in their room is Zep.
Oh.
And then we realize that we're getting a POV from Officer Murtaugh across the street, who has now lost his goddamn mind.
I'm too old for this sane shit.
He's just like, who are you, little man? I see you. Are you waiting for the doctor? I'm waiting for the doctor, too.
He's making a house call.
He's got newspaper clippings all over the wall. He's like, Pepe Silvia, Pepe Silvia. Carol.
He's like, okay.
I go upstairs. There is no Pepe Silvia.
Yeah. He's got some yarn.
Yeah, and he's just mumbling. He's like, I never should have let you go. I never should have let you go.
Never let you go.
Never gonna give you up.
Never gonna let you down.
Flashback, once again, a lot of flashbacks in this, to Murtaugh watching the tape that was shown to Amanda. I'm not sure how they got this tape, but...
Amanda.
Amanda.
Yeah, we do that movie later. You can have fun figuring
out. Who's going to watch you now?
Now. Someone does. God, I love that movie.
Can I see you naked? Okay. But so Murtaugh's watching this video and he's just like rewinding, fast forwarding, pause, tracking.
Prepare to fast forward.
But Singh walks in and he's just like, hey, you know, we're all going to the bar. Do you want to come? And he's just like, nah. And Singh is just like, you know, I mean this in the most respectful way, but maybe you should find yourself a girlfriend.
Huh.
And then all of a sudden Murtaugh, you know, he's rewinding, fast forward, and he just goes, Singh, get back in here. Look at this. And he points the tape and there's some graffiti on the wall.
Oh.
And he's like, you remember this? 118th Street.
I mean, like, Singh is just fuck like, no.
Singh is just like, oh, that gang, K2K. And then Murtaugh's like, and listen to this. And he like turns up the sound really loud and you can hear a fire alarm going off in the background.
Okay.
And so he's just like, let's go check the records for all fire related emergency calls at near 118th Street in the past, you know, week or whatever.
Right.
So that's some good detectiving right there.
Yeah. That's why Murtaugh, like, you know, is in a lot of movies. Cause he's just like a prime detective.
He's very good.
Very good at what he does. Unlike us.
We're getting better.
We are getting better.
But so Murtaugh and Singh go to this warehouse on 118th Street and they come up to this area in this room and there's three or four or five different like big red velvet blankets, tarps, things.
Yeah, they're like velvet blankets draped in velvet like George Costanza. If I saw that, I'd be like, you know what? Let's call for some backup because shit's about to go sideways here.
Yeah, and they're there like with no warrant. They just went rogue on this one. Like, you know, the chief's going to want their badge.
Yeah. Going to haul them downtown and tear them a new asshole.
I got the commissioner on my ass.
I want to run and jump on like the helicopter thing. You know, the little thingy, the hang down. Yes, I know the thing.
I got my own hang down. Okay.
We're getting off track so badly.
They pull off the first curtain and inside is this little like shoebox diorama of the shithole.
Oh, hey.
Now remember, this is a flashback. So this was apparently him planning the shithole out.
With a diorama.
With a shoebox diorama. Wait, that's you? The M&M should be you. They pull off a second sheet and there's Billy. Oh, Billy.
Why do you have to be this way?
And then next to Billy is this like boar mask with like long hair.
Oh.
Suddenly the third sheet makes a noise and moves.
Oh, nope. Mm-mm, nope. Gone. even though I'm a cop, I'm calling 911 because I could not remember the number to call for like the department.
But so they like surround it and they, you know, pull their guns out and they pull off the sheet and there's this guy like tied up. He's got tape over his mouth and there's drills on either side of his neck. Suddenly they hear somebody coming up the freight elevator. And so Shin's like, or Singh is just like, I'm going to fucking blast this guy. Like, I just, you know, so I start blasting.
You're going to butter my biscuit.
And Murtaugh's just like, you know, no, let's wait. Let's see what he does. And so they cover this guy back up and they hide. Jigsaw comes in, pulls the thing off, and he's like, "Oh, you're awake already. I guess I need stronger sedatives next time." Singh and Murtaugh pop out and they're like, "Freeze, police! Freeze, police, don't do that, they'll get cold."
Yeah. Hey-o.
Obscure community reference. But so Jigsaw, you know, puts his hands up and he's just like, okay, I'm cooperating. And then he's just like, bam, and hits a button. The drills start going. And so he's just like, in 20 seconds, that guy's fucking dead. So you can arrest me or you can save that guy's life. And I'm just like, well, there's two of them. So they can do both.
Yeah. And it wasn't exactly like, you know, you need two guys to like stop this thing either.
Yeah. Or this old man. By the way, Jigsaw's an old man.
Yeah. An old, 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 old man.
And he's also wearing like this Halloween costume cloak with hood thing.
He basically looks like, you know, the Scream dude from behind.
Yeah. But so he says, Jigsaw says, the key is in that box. So Singh opens the box and there's just like a janitor's key ring, you know, with 1,000 different keys on it. And so he's trying to unlock this thing that's around this guy's neck to let him out. Meanwhile, Murtaugh's got Jigsaw down on his knees. And he's just like, you know, you're a sick motherfucker. And he's like, yes, I am sick. Sick from the disease eating away at me inside.
Oh,
sick of people who don't appreciate their blessings. Sick of those who scoff at the suffering of others. Sick of it all.
Sick of Columbia House still sending me those goddamn CDs.
Sick of it all. Great band, by the way. And then, like, he's got this fucking Baraka blade. Was it Baraka from Mortal Kombat? Was that his name?
Yeah, it's also like very Assassin's Creed.
Very Assassin's Creed. Yeah, he's got this blade that comes out on his wrist, reaches back and just slashes Murtaugh's throat.
Ooh.
Gets up. Singh, like, shoots the drill bits off this thing.
That was some good thinking. You know, typical American, yeah. Going straight for the gun.
Sure. But then he chases Jigsaw, and, you know, he's like, freeze or I'll shoot. Jigsaw keeps running, so bam, shoots him right in the back.
Ooh.
He's walking up to him, you know, not sure if he's going to pop up or anything. And as he's walking, he steps across this tripwire.
Oh, no.
Suddenly, I think there's like 6 shotguns.
Yeah.
All just hit him at the same time and just basically explode his head.
Right. He ain't so pretty no more.
And then Jigsaw is apparently alive, gets up, slides out the door. We see Murtaugh in present day, got a big ass scar across his throat.
Ugh. See, this is why I have two chance. It helps protect you from
getting to cover your massive scar. Oh
yeah. No, to, you know, prevent that massive scar from happening.
And then, you know, Murtaugh, again, he's just mumbling to himself. He's just like, you know, we had you on your knees, but now I'm going to get you again. You're running. You're pinned to the wall, blah, blah, blah. He's just like mumbling to himself like a fucking maniac.
Yeah, he has definitely gone around a couple bends at this point. Not just one. Yep. He's a full lap short of a, I don't know where I'm going with this. I had nothing at the end.
Is he still on the force?
No, he's kicked off, I think, at this point.
You would think so, because like he's clearly obsessed with this case.
Yeah, no, I think later they say they kicked him off the force.
Okay. Yeah, because you know the chief would have had the commissioner on his ass, and so he would have told him, you know, I can't have you on this case anymore. Turn in your badge and gun.
I may turn in my badge and gun, but I'm still going to solve this case.
I'm going to find that son of a bitch.
His name's Wally.
I'm going to nail his ass to the wall.
And then we're going to throw yogurt at him.
What?
I don't know. You know I've been really sick all week.
Back in the shithole, Elwes is still, he's like, you know, X marks the spot. Like, X marks the spot. Search, look around. And, you know, 1L is just looking at this picture. And he's just like, wait. You know, because it said, what the fuck did it say? Where we're going, we don't need eyes to see? Yeah. No.
Where we're going, we don't need roads. No, it said, you can see better with your eyes closed.
Right. So he's like, turn off the lights. And that was just like, excuse me? Like, he's like, just, I got a hunch.
Okay.
So he turns off the lights, and behind him in black light paint is an X. And so, or is it, I don't know if it's black light paint or glow in the dark paint.
I think it's glow in the dark because they didn't see it at first, but they're also very shaky at first.
He says the lights must have charged it up or whatever it is.
Right. That right.
Happens with glow in the dark stuff.
I think that's how it works. I'm on a scientist.
But so he takes his saw and he like smashes the tile and he reaches in and there's a little box and
it's got a little box.
What's in the box? It's got a little lock on it. Who's making noise over there?
That'd be Pearl Gray. So she's very scared about what's in the box, or she wants her new bark box, but she's not getting it for 10 more days.
Oh, Puppy Christmas is actual Christmas this month.
Puppy Christmas is actually happening on Christmas this month.
But so they find the key that was in the envelope, try it on this little box. Sure enough, it opens it. It's like a fucking escape room.
I'm confident this is where people got the escape room idea from. Like some dude's just sitting there. And he's like, you know, what'd be a good business? This. And like the girlfriend's like, I'm leaving.
There is a Saw escape room in Vegas.
Oh, do you actually get chained to shit?
I have no idea. I didn't do it.
Oh, I hope.
Should we go?
Let's do it.
I'm down.
Honestly. Yeah, I'll go check it out.
But so inside the box is a cell phone and two cigarettes. And like one else sees the cell phone. And he's like, oh, the most beautiful invention on the planet. And then he sees the cigarette and he's like, oh, make that the second most beautiful.
So he likes to enjoy a smoke or two.
Yeah. And Elwes just like, are you kidding me? Like you're going to put something that you found in this room in your mouth?
Nope. Especially after what you did with your hand.
Yeah. You had your hand in duty.
Yeah. Lots and lots of duty.
There's also a note inside.
Oh.
And it says, shush, doctor.
Shush.
Shush.
Hush, please.
But the note says, the cigarettes are harmless, I promise. Smoking is only poisonous if it ends in bloodshed. Think about this. You don't need a gun to kill Adam.
Oh. I thought that was kind of heavy-handed for, like, you know, just dip in the blood and toss it to him.
I mean, yeah, but the whole, like, ends in bloodshed thing, like...
Yeah.
But so he tries to call the police on the phone, and the phone doesn't make outgoing calls.
Well, shit.
It's only meant to receive calls. I don't know how that works.
Me either.
But we get another flashback to Elwes leaving the hospital, and as he's about to get in his car, we see somebody in a boar mask with long hair and like a cloak come out of the shadows and chloroform him.
Shit.
So that was basically how he got there. You don't really need some of this other stuff.
Fast forward machine.
Elwes is like, now he's like suspicious of 1L. He's just like, how did you know to turn off the lights? And he's just like, what does it matter? Like we found this, like it worked. So who cares?
Yeah.
And he's just like, it was instinct.
Instinct to turn off the lights.
And Elwes just like, you're a terrible liar.
Yeah. For one, obviously you're not Canadian.
Is he supposed to be Canadian?
No. I'm just saying like he's not scared of the dark.
Oh.
Because as we know, all Canadians are scared of the dark.
Kevin, how many Canadians does it take to screw in a light bulb?
I don't know how many.
Oh no, the lights are out.
And we just lost Canada. Our two Canadian listeners are now gone.
Okay, yeah. But Elwes basically, he says, you're a terrible liar. And then I have so many times, I can't tell you how many times I have tried to find a GIF of Gary Elwes going, stop the lies! You're a liar!
There's a couple times where he has trouble, like, you know, keeping the American accent going.
Isn't he American?
I thought he was English.
Gary Elwes?
Yeah.
I honestly have no idea.
Ivan Simon Cary Elwes is an English actor and writer.
His name is Ivan?
Yvonne, maybe? Yeah, his
real name is Yvonne. Ivan.
Yeah. No, he was born in Westminster, London.
Huh. All right.
He just had his 60th birthday recently.
Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday to potential future All-Star?
I looked it up and I don't think so.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Good thing he's not Canadian or he'd be afraid to blow out the candles.
That's true.
But so finally, 1L is just like, all right, you want to know how I knew? Here. Throws the photo at him. It's funny, you know, I remember the first time I saw this thinking, man, Cary Elwes is not a good actor.
No.
I don't know what it is about this movie, but he just seems like he's overacting in so much of it.
Oh, yeah.
But he's not a bad actor. He's a great actor.
Oh, he's fantastic.
He's fantastic as Despero in Psych.
Oh, yeah. It's like one of the few episodes I've seen.
Oh, really? He's in a couple of them, actually.
Yeah.
But, you know, he starts kind of breaking down and he's just like, why didn't you show this to me before? He's just like, you know, I couldn't bring myself to show it to you because I knew you would react like this. And so I would start screaming at the camera. He's just like, you know, what are you doing to them? You bastard. And so, you know, now he's kind of snapping. I'm not sure what time it is at this point, but remember, he's only got till 6.
Right. Yeah. I don't think they really show the clock until it's like 5:30 again.
Yeah, the one time they show Zep, we see it's like 3 o'clock, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Because he's got a clock next to him. Yeah, we see that Zep is actually watching them through this camera.
Oh, he's voyeuring. Voiding.
He's voying.
Voying.
So, I mean, I guess at this point we think Zep is Jigsaw?
Yeah, it you know, kind of like strongly alludes to that.
Yeah, that was another thing I remember about the first time I watched it. I was like, wow, they gave that away, like, really easy.
Yeah.
I thought there would be more mystery, and I thought this would last till the end of the movie, not just half hour in, here's the killer.
Hey, it's like the dude from Lost.
What?
Yeah, like, Michael Emerson is, like, one of the main guys in Lost.
The guy that plays Zep?
Yeah.
Why do I not remember him in Lost?
Later seasons. You might have checked out by then.
Oh, yeah, later seasons are awful.
Oh, they're terrible.
Pretty much once they got to the hatch, everything went down from there.
Yeah.
But he, you know, gets the voice in his head saying, you don't need a gun to kill Adam. And then he remembers, you know, with so much poison in your blood, all you can do is shoot yourself. And so he gets this idea. He's going to dip the cigarette in the blood, get the poison, and then give it to Adam. Somehow Adam's not going to notice this.
Yeah.
And smoke the cigarette.
Why is there blood on this? Oh, well, fuck it.
Oh, that's lipstick.
Yeah. A dame some woman had the cigarette before.
Some woman must have put it in her mouth and then decided not to smoke it. I don't know.
Yeah. And they gave it to a serial killer.
So Elwes comes up with this plan and he like starts whispering something to Adam. He's like, you know, just go with me on this. And so he turns off the lights, turns them back on, and 1L is dead, laid out in the middle of the floor.
Oh.
And Cary Elwes turns to the camera and he's just like, there, I did it. I killed him. Are you happy? Now give me my family. Suddenly, 1L gets electrocuted. Pops up, you know, wakes up. He's just like, Jesus Christ.
Sons of bitches shocked me.
I don't fully understand how this happened.
The shocking?
Yeah, like where did the electricity come from?
It's got to be rigged to the chain.
Somehow, but how? Yeah.
I don't know. Ask the guy with the remote.
Yeah, I don't know. But so, 1L, apparently this shock like opened something up in his memory and he remembers how he got here. And we see him going up the stairs to his shithole apartment. He's got a camera around his neck, and we find out that he's a PI, right?
Yeah.
He's not just a creep with a camera.
No, he's hired to follow people.
Yeah, and he's been hired to follow Cary Elwes.
By whom?
By his wife.
Oh.
Because if you remember, Cary Elwes was having an affair.
He was getting some strange, as the kids like to say, I think.
Do they still say that?
I have no idea.
Do they still say BCI?
What's BCI?
Booty call implications?
It's all about the implication.
Yeah, he was having an affair with one of his med students.
No, that's who that woman was.
Yeah, the one who was giving him fuck me eyes.
Yeah. Hey.
So, yeah, he's in his shithole apartment. He's looking through these photos of Elwes, and he hears something outside. Here's a knock on the door. Looks outside, and there's this sudden camera flash that like blinds him.
Oh.
And then Billy the doll is heard laughing. And
I miss that.
Really?
Yeah.
It's that weird noise that's in all like the trailers and stuff. I think that's supposed to be Billy's laugh.
Or whatever.
Yeah. It's like this high-pitched, screechy laugh. Like almost like that.
That was almost like a flipper.
That was almost like a, yeah.
A bottlenosed dolphin, not a river dolphin.
I'm glad you could tell the difference.
Yeah, thanks. I was going to be a marine biologist once upon a time.
But yeah, and then he gets jumped by, I think they were wearing the boar mask again.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the shithole, not the shithole apartment, but the actual shithole, the phone rings, the cell phone.
Oh.
Elwes answers, and it's his daughter.
Well, this is just mean.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of what like hostage takers do.
That's true.
You know, that it's to show that the person is still alive and well, as you know, well,
right,
quote unquote. And also just psychological warfare, you know, to just torture the person into giving you what they want.
Right.
But also, you know, his wife also comes on the phone and says, you know, she's here with me. The daughter says, the bad man from my room is here.
Oh.
And so, of course, now Elwes is just like, oh, shit. Well, I fucked up.
Well, I fucked this one up.
Maybe I should have actually checked the room instead of patronizing her.
Next time.
Wanel and Elwes kind of have a back and forth. None of this is really important. But Wanel tells him that he's a PI. He says, I get paid to take pictures of rich guys like you who go to seedy out of the way motels to fuck their secretaries. And Elwes is just like, she's a med student.
How dare you?
He does not say that. But you know, he's pulls out these photos that were in the trash bag with the hacksaws. There are all these photos that he took of Cary Elwes. And, you know, when I was just like, dude, let's face it, we're both bullshit artists. Bullshit artists. Have you seen The Greasy Strangler?
I have not.
We're going to have to do the Greasy Strangler for bonus content.
Okay.
Because that one is, I don't know how that one's not rotten. That is unfathomable to me.
Looking this up now.
Anyway, we get a flashback of Elwes and the med student at the hotel room. We don't like, you know, see him banging or anything, but
yeah.
You know, he gets a phone call and it's just like, I know what you're doing, doctor. And then hangs up.
Oh, I know what you did last summer.
Yeah. So like, was that Jigsaw?
I don't think so. It didn't sound like him. I think it was Zap.
Oh yeah, I guess it could be. But so Elwes says, you know, who paid you? And, you know, obviously, like I said, I thought it was his wife, but he says he calls himself Bob and he gives me the money up front, $200 a night. And if I had known that I would end up here, I would ask for a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, smart.
And Elwes says, you know, did you see this guy jump me? Like, did you see what happened to me? And when I was just like, I saw you get in your car. That's all I saw, man. He's like, if I had seen what happened to you, do you think I'd really just sit there and do nothing?
I don't know. Maybe.
But Elwes says, you know, obviously, whoever paid you to take the pictures is the person who put us here. And Wanel doesn't seem convinced. He's just like, yeah, maybe.
No.
And Elwes just like, well,
no, but you know, I'll take money from the guy.
Elwes just like, you know, well, you know, who was it? What did he look like? And he's like, you know, I don't know. He says he's just a guy.
Some guy.
And Elwes is just like, well, give me something. Was he tall? Was he skinny? Was he, you know, was he fat kid, skinny kid, kids that climb on rocks? Like, give me something.
Was he, who was his name? Bert? Some guy named Bert?
A guy named Bert. No, his name was Bob, remember?
Oh, my bad. Bob, Bert, same thing.
Where when I was just like, when I was just like, I don't notice people's appearance.
Yeah. I don't see color.
It's like, are you a face blindness? What the hell? Like, how do you know nothing?
He was wearing a ski mask, all right? Or a balaclava.
But then he says, all right, fine. You want to know? He is a tall guy. He's a black guy. And he's got a big ass scar across his neck.
Hold up. Record scratch. Narrator comes over. I once saw a black guy with a neck scratch once.
Yeah, and Elle was just like, fucking Murtaugh. He's too old for this shit. How could it be?
He was kicked off the force. I was there when he got his badge and gun taken away.
He says, you know, Detective Murtaugh. And Wanell's just like, no, there's no way this guy is a cop. He's a fucking lunatic. And so, yeah, Elwes says, you know, yeah, he was kicked off the force because he became fucking obsessed with me.
I mean, look at these. Look at this jawline.
He kept asking me questions, and I was like, as you wish. And it, like, every time it just seemed to get more into me every time I said it. I don't understand.
I want you to cover yourself in peanut butter, go to Andre the Giant and get me an autographed picture.
But so when I was just like, you know, are you pissed off because I got pictures of you cheating on your wife? And Elvis says, I didn't cheat on her.
Oh.
So he went to the hotel room with this girl, but he didn't do anything.
Okay.
So he could have cheated on her. He thought about cheating on her.
But he didn't cheat on her.
And I love this line where Lee Wynell says, I don't give a crap if you covered yourself in peanut butter and had a 15 hooker gangbang.
That's why I said the covered in peanut butter part.
Oh, I wasn't thinking ahead. Yeah. I thought you were speaking from experience.
It only happened like twice.
But so let's see, does the phone ring again? Is that where we're at? No. Zepp leaves the room, and she's Monty.
Good old Monty.
Monty's talking to the daughter, and
she was in Parenthood, wasn't she? Sorry. I was like trying to place her. I know I have IMDb right here, but it's like, I want to use my brain and figure this out because I know I've seen her in something.
I don't know. I don't think I saw Parenthood.
Oh, okay.
But I know I've seen her in something, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But so Wanell's looking through these photos and he says, you know, was there someone else at your house last night? And I was just like, no. And Wanell's just like, well, there's someone in these photos. And so Elwes looks at him and he realizes that it's Zepp.
Oh, well, shit.
It's 1L, looks at the clock and is just like, it's 6 o'clock, bro.
Hey, we got to get some shit figured out right quick.
Time's up. But so, Monty has freed herself somehow.
Yeah.
I'm spacing on how she freed herself.
Zepp is not good at knots, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, she just kind of works her way out, right?
Yeah, she's sitting there just like struggling the entire time and basically they just come loose.
Yeah, and so she starts untying her daughter and Zepp comes in. So Monty like pretends to be tied up, you know, puts her gag back in. And when Zepp comes in, and he's just like, you know, I'm sorry. Elvis's time is up. I've got to do what I've got to do. And I'm afraid it has to be you that tells him he failed.
Damn.
So the phone rings. Elwes answers it, and he's just like, Zepp, you bastard. I know it's you, you son of a bitch.
Oh.
And Monty is just like, Carrie, it's me. And she looks up at Zepp, and she goes, you failed. And it's funny because she is like, she's talking to Zepp.
Yeah.
Carrie Elwes does not know that.
Yeah, it's not like they're on FaceTime.
Right. So she, like, you know, undoes herself, grabs Zepp's gun, shoves him down, you know, gets up, points the gun at him, and, you know, she's screaming, "Don't move, stay on the ground, give me the phone." Gets on the phone and just like, are you okay? And I guess Elwes says, are you okay? And she's like, no, we're fucking not. She's like, where are you? And he's like, I don't know. I'm in a shithole somewhere. And she's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for everything. You know, I'm sorry. It's my fault. This is all because of me. Please forgive me. I've always been happy with you.
Okay.
Because remember, she said earlier, how can you keep pretending to be happy? Suddenly we hear the daughter scream. Monty turns around and Zepp has grabbed her.
Oh,
he's grabbed the gun, and is him and Monty start kind of struggling, fighting over the gun. Gun goes off. Daughter screams. Carrie Elwes is still on the phone, just like, the fuck's going on over there?
Don't have time to explain.
Yeah, Zepp manages to spin her around, and another shot goes off, and we see Murtaugh hear the shot. Remember, he's right across the street.
Right.
So he takes off. Struggling, blah, blah, blah. Murtaugh runs in. He's like, you know, freeze. He probably shouldn't have a gun in his mental state, but
no, he probably shouldn't. But, you know, America, everybody's given one at birth.
Zepp turns around, shoots it at Murtaugh, but misses. Murtaugh fires back, hits like just the top of Zepp's head.
Ooh.
Zepp like goes down, holding his head, bald headed bear style. That was your bear?
Yeah, I don't do this well. You know that. I don't know why I try. It just comes into my head, and I think it's a good idea. And then sounds come out, and it's like, I shouldn't have done that.
Murtaugh runs at Zepp, and he tackles him, knocks him down. But Zepp pushes his way up. Murtaugh grabs him, pulls him down again. Back at the shithole, Elwes is just holding the phone, just crying. He has no idea what the fuck is going on. Zepp starts heading down the hall, chasing after Monty and the daughter. He's, you know, he's like, Mrs. Gordon, I'm going to kill your husband now, Mrs. Gordon.
Do you have a sister named Dana?
Entourage?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sitting here staring at like the wiki, and it's like Mackenzie Vega as Diana Gordon. I'm like, huh, that's just one letter off from Dana.
But so Zepp gets in a car and he's headed to the shithole. Murtaugh is chasing after him. So we get this cool car chase scene. It's not really that cool.
No, it's terrible. It's like, you know, there's no like actual chase. It just like shoves him through the windshield.
Elwes gets electrocuted, passes out. But he, you know, he wakes up and he's like, he electrocuted me. And one Elwes like, yeah, fucking see, told you.
Yeah. But who did it? If, you know, Jigsaw's running from the cops right now.
Yeah, good point. So, you know, they start kind of freaking out. At this point, Elwes is just, he's lost it. He's like yanking at the chain. He's like, I got to get some way out of here. Picks up the hacksaw, starts going to town on his ankle. We see Zepp hobbling through the hall, headed towards the room. Murtaugh's chasing him. He's like, I'm going to fucking kill you, you sick son of a bitch. Wanell is just like, Carrie, please fucking stop.
I have to watch this. I don't know why I can't turn around, but you're making me watch this.
But so, yeah, he cuts his foot off, crawls to the body, grabs the gun, puts the bullet in the chamber. Because remember, there was a bullet in the envelope. Raises the gun, points it at Adam, and is just like, I'm sorry. Like, you have to die. Those were the rules.
Rules are rules, kid.
And I like how Wanell's not just like, no, it's too late.
Yeah.
You missed the deadline, bud.
Yeah. We can both live now for some reason.
But no, he just says, I want to live. And sure enough, he shoots at him.
Oh.
Hits him like in the shoulder area.
And he goes down like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah. Elwes turns to the camera and he's like, there, I've done it. Bring my family to me.
I thought it was weird they broke the fourth wall here. No.
Zepp comes into the room and he looks around and he's just like, what the fuck happened here? But Elwes is just like pointing the gun at him and pulling the trigger repeatedly, but there was only one bullet. So it's just like click, click, click,
click, click.
Yeah. But he's just like, I'll fucking kill you. While he's sitting there bleeding to death from the leg. And Zepp is just like, you're too late. It's the rules. Quiet down over there.
Dogs.
And so Zepp, you know, pulls out his own gun and he's getting ready to pull the trigger when suddenly 1L wakes up.
Oh, hey.
Grabs his ankle, yanks him to the ground. Zepp hits his head, cracks his head open. He's out. Adam's like swinging Zepp's arm around with the gun going off. Elwes starts crawling towards them. 1L gets up, grabs the top of the upper deck of the toilet and just starts bashing away at Zepp's head. Just caves his fucking head in.
I'm going to brain you.
Elwes tells 1L, he's like, ah, all right, you're going to be okay. You're just wounded in the shoulder. Like you're not going to die, which I mean, they're still in a shithole.
Yeah. I'm worried about an infection at this point.
Yeah. Everything in that room is infected.
Yeah. There's infection on top of infection on top of Michael Starr on top of infection.
And also Adam is still chained up.
Yeah. Where do you think so Elwes starts? Nowhere.
Elwes starts crawling out the door. He's like, I'll be back. I'll bring somebody back.
I'll bring help.
It's like, dude, you are not going to make it.
No, you'll make it about 15 feet out that door before you bleed out. You got really pale.
Yeah. And so 1L starts going through Zepp's pockets, trying to find a key. Finds his wallet, opens it up. Nothing in there. Starts looking around in his coat pocket. Pulls out a tape recorder.
Oh, shit.
Hits play. And Jigsaw says, I'm not going to do the voice. I'm starting to get scratchy.
You know, sound like I did the last couple of days.
But he says, hello, Mr. Hindle, or as they call you around the hospital, Zepp.
Oh.
I want you to make a choice. There's slow-acting poison coursing through your system, which only I have the antidote for. Will you murder a mother and her child to save yourself? Listen carefully if you will. There are rules. So, yeah. So, for whatever reason, he wanted Zepp to kill Monty and the daughter. Why was Zepp chosen? Why am I not remembering that part?
I don't remember either. Maybe it's because they formed a bond? No. Yeah, I don't remember at all. It's like completely like gone. And I watched this like 2 hours ago.
Yeah. I don't remember why Zepp was chosen. Yeah.
It'll come to
anyway.
Us.
Yeah. But we get this flashback montage now, which was this became a very Saw thing. Like this was the thing that the music would play and that at the end of the movie, everything would kind of recap. But we get Zepp, you know, we get a flashback of Zepp saying that this person, the guy with the tumor was a very interesting person. We see, you know, John, the guy that was in the hospital. We see a flashback of Murtaugh holding the gun to Jigsaw's head. And we get a recap of, remember when he said sick of people who don't appreciate their blessings, right. Sick of the poison that's inside me or whatever he says, sick of it all. Get a recap of Amanda's whole thing where he says most people are so ungrateful to be alive, but not you, not anymore. Suddenly, the most fucked up shit, the body that's been in the middle of the room the entire movie,
motionless,
stands up, pulls this latex off the back of his head, points at the bathtub and says, the key to your chains is in that bathtub.
Oh, shit.
And then he just walks out of the room. And, you know, 1L just screams. Remember that light with the key that we saw at the very beginning of the movie go down the drain? That was the key to let him out the entire time.
And he never saw that key, I presume.
He never saw it. And so Jigsaw swings the door shut and says, "Game over."
Game over, motherfucker. Game over.
And that's Saw.
Yay! Or,
like I said, the only good Saw, because after this, they all started just becoming just, let's make the craziest traps we can, and then at the end, we'll make some twist that doesn't make any sense.
Right. Yeah, they just go straight downhill.
Yeah, it's easy to make a twist if the twist doesn't make sense.
What a twist!
It's like, you know, and then all of a sudden they're like, and Jigsaw was Philip, the delivery boy from earlier.
Oh, didn't see that one coming. Or Jason's a paramedic.
Yeah, it was dumb. Or those are dumb. This one's not dumb. This one was great.
This is good.
Yeah, when John stands up, I remember just being like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I remember that. Like, oh, now we got a zombie movie. That was my first thought. I was like, zombie.
That would have been a twist.
Yeah, that would have been a twist. And then we go straight into the day after, not the day after tomorrow, Dawn of the Dead.
So, yeah. You like this movie?
I love this movie. I haven't seen it in forever. But yeah, it was a good rewatch. I was like, yeah, this movie rocks. Why has it got such a low score? Because like everybody loves this movie. Not like,
yeah,
horror.
I mean, 80-whatever percent audience score, right. Obviously, you know, quite well received by the audience.
It's one of our highest audience scores, too, if yeah. Not the highest. No, Super Troopers is the highest. This is number two. Number three.
Okay.
It's top five.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, everybody I know that is into horror really liked this movie. Like I said, I had a couple friends who were like, oh, yeah, I saw that twist coming. And I'm like,
No, you didn't.
And it's like the big twist and then the little twist when he says the key is in that tub and you're just like, Oh, God, damn it.
Adam, I'm starting to like you, but you know.
Yeah, and just like the whole underlying thing of, you know, like him that he's, I don't want to go so far as to saying he's an anti-hero, but the fact that he's trying to help people through these games.
Right.
Is such like a mind fuck.
Yeah.
And it's like when Amanda says, you know, he helped me, it's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, okay.
All right.
Kind of a cultish kind of vibe going on here.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, spoiler alert for part two. We're not gonna cover it on here, but that's why Amanda ends up being the new Jigsaw in part two.
Right.
That's the big twist at the end of that one.
Apparently Cary Elwes is like the main villain in part seven.
Okay. I don't think I saw seven. I don't remember when I stopped. I think four.
I think it was four. I saw. Yeah, I think four is the last one I did. It's like, all right, I'm tapping out.
Yeah.
Like, and they just keep coming.
Like I said, two is okay. It's a decent sequel.
Yeah, it's
for
not
this
bad.
One. It's but then at part three and beyond, they just fall off a cliff.
Yeah, it goes way, way. It gets bad fast.
Yeah. So yeah, that's it for us. Whether you like this movie or not, if you liked this podcast, make sure to head over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'm saying podcast too much.
Podcast.
Give us 5 stars or whatever the most amount of stars or rainbows or clovers or red balloons, whatever the most is, give us all of them. If you can put something in the text box, I don't know why, but at least with Apple, it carries a little more weight. If you put something in there, it doesn't matter what it is. You can tell us that you saw the twist coming. We'll tell you you're a liar.
Or tell us like what twist you prefer, a pretzel or Oliver.
Sure. Tell us what your favorite Jigsaw trap is. Whatever you want. Literally anything you want. You could put farts. I don't care.
You could pick which one of us you think would come out of that bathroom alive or have the balls to soft their own foot.
Neither. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, I don't do blood. We're both dying in that bathroom.
Probably, yeah. But anyway, yeah. And you can follow us on social media. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok as Cult of Splat. Or you can follow me. I'm on Twitter, Instagram as the Taylor Bartle. And I'm now on Post as Taylor Bartle.
Ooh.
I hope that kind of picks up. It's still a fledgling network, but it's
slowly gaining
steam. New thing. So, Kevin, where can they follow you?
Neskoda, D-U-H, on Instagram. Kevin Neskoda on Twitter, but I'm hardly there. And on post as just Neskoda. No D-U-H, just N-E-S-G-O-D-A.
There you go. Also, check out cultusblatt.com. You can listen to all our back episodes. You can buy merchandise. Anything you need, that's the best place to go for all your Cult of Splat needs. So we'll be back next week, hopefully, all things, as long as nothing goes horribly wrong. Until then, see ya.
Bye.